Hi, my name is Dominic Fano, and I'm a family physician from Oxford, Michigan. And today we will be talking with Glenn Krause. Glenn Krause is the founder and CEO of Core CDI, and he is a subject matter expert in clinical documentation improvement. Today we will be discussing the age-old question of evaluation and management services and trying to pick the right E&M code for your visit. So Glenn, why don't you start off by explaining and defining what evaluation and management is?
Okay, I'd be glad to. Thank you, Dominic. So E&M really has two, I think, distinct definitions, if you will. One is the reimbursement definition, and the other is communication of patient care definition. So if I'm defining E&M from a documentation and communication of documentation of the communication of patient care perspective, as opposed to reimbursement perspective, I would define E&M as the exchange of clinically reasonable and necessary information between the clinician and the patient, family giver, family member, wife, husband, caregiver, and the use of the information in the management of the patient. And if you take that definition and you overlay into the reimbursement perspective of E&M, we have a history, we have a chief complaint, a history, a physical, and medical decision making. And focusing on the communication of patient care and capture of the doctor's and patient's patient encounter, I'd be focusing on those key elements of a chief complaint. Communicating the extent of history of present illness, and then culminating in your clinical judgment and medical decision-making as to what I'm thinking, why am I thinking these diagnoses definitive or provisional, what is the clinical rationale of these particular diagnoses that are provisional in nature, and what further workup or treatment am I going to provide for the patient's condition in my plan of care that's congruent with my assessment.
Now, Glenn, you really touched on some important things, which I want to emphasize. Three components of E&M coding are the documentation of the history, the physical exam, and the medical decision-making, which is the last component. So if we were to start with the documentation of history, can you explain the difference in documenting between a level, a 99213 versus a 99214?
Absolutely. A level four requires a more clinically complex patient. If you're talking about an established patient, in order to achieve a level four in terms of my history of present illness, if it's a problem-focused visit, I'd be required or to document and to perform and communicate at least four elements of a history of present illness. And that's really where I think physicians sometimes are insufficient in communicating what they've done performed. There's eight elements of a history of present illness: location, quality, severity, duration, timing, context, modifying factors, and associated signs and symptoms. So in my history of present illness, to establish the medical necessity for the visit and the extent of work performed in that particular patient scenario, it's paramount that at least four elements of a history of present illness be communicated. If we're talking about between a level three and four from the standpoint of medical decision making, which is a driving force aside from the history of present illness, the difference between a three and four would be if you have an established patient and you're managing just the chronic illnesses that are stable or even not stable, what's required is the active management of at least two stable or chronic illnesses. If we're talking about a patient that comes in with a problem focus, not stable chronic illnesses, I would what's required is one or more chronic illnesses with mild exacerbation, progressing, or side effects of treatment. Example would be a patient with diabetes that's not controlled, not well controlled, let's say A1C recently of 10 and has some minor complications, whether it's nephropathy or retinopathy. If you have a new problem, okay, from a moderate medical decision making, a new problem with an uncertain prognosis, maybe abdominal pain, that's a new condition that's acute in nature, but not enough to actually warrant an ER visit, but you're working up that patient. Or if I come in with pneumonia or a severe case of pyelonephritis, and I prescribe some IV antibiotics, that certainly would be a moderate medical decision-making. So really, the difference between a 3 and a 4 from an established patient is the actual medical decision-making, moderate versus low. And the other issue is my history of present illness, which requires at least 4 history of present illness, and at least 2 to 9 on my review of systems. So it goes back to medical decision-making, as I mentioned, also taking into account the complexity of the patient encounter as exhibited in the severity of signs and symptoms in the history of present illness, or whether I'm managing 3 or more chronic illnesses in follow-up, or if I just have 1 or 2 chronic conditions.
Glenn, so you definitely hit on some key points, which I want to reiterate.
Okay.
For the history of present illness, you do need, obviously, at least 4 of those elements that you just described. You also need an extended review of systems, which includes more than 2 bodily systems. And you do need to include your past family and social history as well. Where in a 99213, the review of systems does not have to be as extensive. The history of present illness can be brief, where you're only talking about 1 to 3 elements.
That's right.
Present illness.
Uh-huh.
Now, as we move to the next component of the E&M coding, which is the physical exam, can you touch base on, what is required to build that next level of care versus just the 99213?
Well, good question, Dominic. So, an exam on a 99214 would require a detailed exam. Okay, so a detailed exam would be up to 7 systems. What's interesting is that a expanded problem focus exam is also up to 7 systems. So the cardinal rule that I like to follow is, if you're going to be performing a detailed exam, okay, based on the patient's, your clinical judgment and the nature of presenting problem as evidenced in the history of present illness and patient's chief complaint, up to 7 systems would be considered detailed if I had at least a document performed and evaluated at least 4 evaluation of 4 body areas or 4 organ systems. Note, you can't mix and match. They either have to be body areas or organ systems. And in a detailed exam within the 4 organ systems or body areas, inclusion in the note would require at least additional information. Or 4 elements or 4 statements for at least 4 body areas or organ systems. So you could still have 2 to 7 on your expanded problem focus, but it's not considered detailed because you have not got into as much detail and performed as much physician work in evaluating the exam or the organ system or body area. So the difference would be 2-1-3, expanded problem focus, 2 to 7. It doesn't have to be as detailed. Whereas in your detailed exam required for a level for 99214, if you'd be required to do at least 4 body areas or organ systems with 4 statements.
All right, thank you, Glenn. So the last component is complexity of medical decision making.
Right.
Can you touch base on this? Because I definitely think this is one of the more complicated topics of E&M.
Right, I'd be glad to, and I agree with you. It's sometimes challenging and complex to physicians, but let me kind of explain it in a brief, simple format. Okay, there are 3 elements to medical decision making: number of diagnoses or treatment options, amount and complexity of data reviewed, and the table of risk okay? And they all reflect the complexity of arriving at a diagnosis and a selecting of management options. Breaking it down simply, it means to me, when I'm coming to my assessment and my plan of care, I want to be able to communicate the complexity of what I'm dealing with from this patient's encounter or nature presenting problem. So, number of diagnoses and treatment options and the amount and complexity of data, table of risk is the two out of the three that I really focus upon in reviewing cases, auditing and providing feedback to physicians. So number of diagnoses and treatment options, if I was going to be billing a level four, I'd be looking for moderate medical decision-making. What is moderate medical decision-making? From the standpoint of number of diagnosis and management options, I'd be looking for documentation and work performed for a situation of at least three problems that are not worsening. Okay, so you have three stable problems that you're following or bringing the patient follow-up, such as diabetes, hypertension, and let's say hyperlipidemia. Or if I'm looking for moderate medical decision-making, I would be looking for an established problem that's perhaps worsening. Diabetes is uncontrolled, and you show some mild exacerbation or progression or side effects of treatment. Or if I'm talking about a stable patient, I'm going to be looking for at least two or more stable chronic illnesses. So in that example, I mentioned diabetes, hypertension, and hyperlipidemia. So that's managing two or more chronic stable conditions. So that would be a moderate medical decision making. So looking for the number of problems that I'm managing or working up, and whether they're worsening or improved if they're established problems, or if they're a new problem, what is the workup that's planned? That to me is a moderate medical decision making.
So, you know, the interesting component that you mentioned, most people assume, you know, based on number, like more is obviously going to lead to higher complexity. But when it deals with an acute issue, you know, that may not, in most people's eyes, be considered increased complexity. But like you said, you know, if there's uncertain prognosis, depending on the workup, you know, that could definitely increase that complexity in itself, in addition to everything else you're already managing as well. But another thing that you mentioned, of those three things that we were just discussing, and that would be the number of diagnoses, the amount and or complexity of the data, and then the risks of the complications. You really only need two out of those three components.
That's correct. Absolutely, two out of the three. From a standpoint of alleviating any confusion and making the E&M or this medical decision making as smoothly as possible in terms of translating into the communication of patient care, I always like to let physicians know, think clinically. What am I thinking regarding when I get to my assessment based on my physical exam, my history of present illness, abnormal findings, any lab or radiology or any tests that are available during that, before the visit that you're incorporating into your medical decision-making. And when it comes to really putting your thoughts on paper, I would say the two key components of medical decision-making are, okay, if I have an uncertain symptomatology with uncertain prognosis in terms of my definitive diagnosis, to list the provisional diagnosis associated with the sinus symptom. So chest pain, concern for A, here's what I'm going to work up the patient for. B, my second provisional or differential or diagnostic consideration is this diagnosis. This is a workup I'm going to order for this potential diagnosis to rule it in or out. Thinking along those lines, or if I have established problem, very important to be able to communicate whether the problem is worsening. So is the diabetes stable? Is it diabetes worsening? Do they have an A1C of 10? Do they have labral hypertension? Because that impacts the complexity of medical decision-making, and that it drives whether that particular medical decision-making is moderate or low. And for, like I said, a level four, it's imperative that we achieve at least the work performed associated with moderate medical decision-making.
So Glenn, you know, with these parameters in mind, you know, you could, for example, have a patient with either diabetes or high blood pressure, both of which could be uncontrolled. And these are separate scenarios where maybe a patient comes in with an elevated blood pressure, you have to add a new medication. You know, here you have an unstable condition with prescription drug management. And right there, you meet two out of the three components.
Absolutely.
Justify so the level 99214.
Right. If you have one or more chronic illnesses with mild exacerbation, and you pair that with prescription management, whether you add a new drug for that patient's labile hypertension, so I'm now doing dual therapy, or I'm titrating up the drug to see if I can get if I can manage this with monotherapy, because the patient may not be have a tendency to be non-compliant with just one drug. As long as you have the description of documentation on that drug management and that particular patient who has the stable the chronic illness with mild exacerbation, that potentially could be moderate medical decision-making.
Now, Glenn, what are your thoughts on billing your E&M code based on time?
Time? That's kind of, I think some physicians have a misunderstanding or time is one of the contributing key components of an E&M assignment. So time would be applicable if you're billing based on counseling of coordination of care. So if a patient comes in with a shopping bag full of drugs or they saw a new drug on TV that says go ask your physician or go consult with your physician, so you have to discuss the pros and cons of this drug and the fact that it's not first line therapy or it has a lot of adverse reactions or there may be a drug-drug interaction potential and you're spending more time, more than 50% of the total time, 50% or more of the time is spent in reviewing that drug with a shopping full bag full of drugs on a new patient who brings in a shopping bag. You can bill based on counseling and coordination of care as long as 50% or more of the time is spent in counseling and coordination, and you document when you make that statement, I spent a total of 45 minutes was spent with the patient, more than 50% was spent in counseling and coordination of care, and you give us a brief sentence or two about what you were discussing as part of the counseling, you can bill based on time. For an established patient, I just gave you an example. If you spent a total of 45 minutes with the patient, and as an established patient, 50% or more of the time was spent in counseling and coordination, that would be a level five. If you spent between 25 and 40 minutes or 39 minutes with the patient and more than 50% was counseling and coordination, that would be a level four. So time is rather important, counseling and coordination of care. The other, there's add-on codes for time. If you have a patient who you performed an E&M and it's based on the three components, but it took me longer because let's say the patient was demented and I spent a lot of time with the family getting the history, a history of present illness. If you went over 30 minutes of the average time spent with that particular level that you achieved, then you can use time as an add-on code. There's add-on codes in the CPT book.
All right, Glenn. Well, that's all the questions I have today. I appreciate your time discussing these main differences so that students, residents, and new attendings can definitely bill better and get compensated for doing so.
All right, my pleasure, Dominic. I appreciate the time, and thanks very much for allowing me to give my viewpoint of E&M.
All right, Glenn. Until next time.
Okay, thank you.